Shall we turn in the Word of God to the Epistle of Paul written to the Corinthians? The first Epistle of Paul, reading in chapter 3. I would like to begin reading at verse 9 through verse 15. Paul's Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 3, commencing to read at verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of this portion from his own precious and holy word. And may I first of all bring before you what I would like to express as the theme of the subject, how to build a local church. The building of a local testimony for Christ. The building of a local assembly of saints who carry on for the Lord's glory, his name, his word, his testimony within this world. I'm sure that none of us would ever deny, who have ever read the book of the Acts, that there were two great phases of work being done by the Holy Spirit in the days of the early church for our own pattern today. First of all, as we well know, we find in the beginning of the gospel being preached, as the Spirit descended and filled his people and used them as vessels of proclamation, many precious souls were won for our Savior. But then there was another work that was the work of the Holy Spirit in the book of the Acts. He gathered those precious souls together in their given localities, and he manifested them in corporate companies, local churches, and assembled companies of believers, so that we have read in the Word of God of the church, which is the throne, the church, which also was in Corinth, the church, or the churches which were in Galatia, the church that was in Ephesus, the church that was in Colossae, Laodicea, name them all. And it was the work of the Holy Spirit to gather them together and make a local testimony of believers for the glory of God. Now if there was ever one man who was greatly used in that particular connection of building local churches and testimony for his Lord, it was the beloved Apostle Paul. And in the scripture that we have read, I want you to particularly notice this first of all. In verse 10, please note what he speaks of himself as being. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. I'm sure we will acknowledge that the beloved Apostle Paul was a wise master builder. He does stand out preeminently as a servant of God is not only the winning of precious souls, but the establishing of those souls in a corporate and a local testimony. And we must not ever lose sight of this divine principle, that it is the obvious purpose of the Spirit of God in this age to bring souls to Christ and to bring them into a corporate testimony with fellow believers in a local character. Now when we consider what it means to build a local church, I want particularly not to cover the whole scripture that we have read, but to find from the words that the divine apostle has given by inspiration to us the character of material that goes into the building of a local church. For the quality of a local church is not measured by the number of people that consist in the membership. The quality of the local church neither is measured in the sight of God by the elaborate buildings and edifices that they may possess. The quality of a local church is neither in the sight of God expressed as being the affiliations that may go out from it and belong to it. I believe we can find from the Word of God in our scriptures that the Spirit of God looks for that which he describes as being a spiritual quality in relation to the testimony. For if we should be reminded regarding the testimony of the church, Peter's epistle in 1 Peter chapter 2 will give to us a very clear expression that it is a spiritual house. When he describes it as being upon Christ the foundation stone built, and the structure of it consists of living stones, and ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house. And that is the quality of any local testimony in respect to its spiritual character. Now in our scripture that we have read, I wish only to take one verse and point out the 12th verse of this reading, where we have indicated the quality of material that is to go into it. As Paul declares, two classes of material at large could be found within it. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, a stubble. Now we can recognize very clearly that there are two elements, two specific kinds of elements that would be substantial on one hand and would be unsubstantial upon the other hand. There are elements described that would abide the test of that coming day of judgment. And there are elements described that would be consumed in the day of judgment and completely vanish as being immaterial, unqualified in regard to their substance. And you can recognize it by those words. The material substance that will abide is classified as gold and silver and precious stones. The material substance that will not abide, the spiritual quality of work that will be destroyed, is classified as wood, and as hay, and as stubble. Now one may well recognize, as Paul declares, in the day of judgment, the work, the material that we have built in the testimony of our Lord, will be revealed in that day. And one qualification of substance will remain. The other will be destroyed, for which, of course, many of us will indeed be grateful to recognize that though we may have built in an unworthy manner at times, that substance that we have contributed, that has been wood and hay and stubble, which could, of course, be very easily accumulated and easily obtained, will be forever put away and destroyed from sight. But that which remains will receive its merited and eternal reward. Now I want you to think with me of the quality, and may I repeat again, the spiritual quality of material that God wants and should be put into a local testimony. It's found in those three words, gold, silver, precious stone. Read the opening of the verse and recognize Paul's implication. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone. First of all, let's thank God for the foundation. For as we have read in the reading, Paul very definitely stated in verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, and that is Jesus Christ. For the foundation of any divine testimony, locally, and we know also universally, the foundation is Christ alone. And upon Him alone can we build individually, and can we build and must we build even corporately, collectively. And Christ is the foundation stone. Let us basically emphasize that. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We do thank God for the words of the hymn writer. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And thus the foundation is first of all important. Then, my beloved fellow believer, let you and I realize we build upon Christ. He is the foundation stone. But then may I remind you, before we look carefully into these three particular elements of gold and silver and precious stone, may I remind you at the close of verse 10 what Paul declared. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. May I go to verse 13 with you, please? And recognize the exhortation and the challenge to build carefully. Every man's word shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, and not the closing word, of what sort it is, of what quality it is. Now let me repeat again with emphasis. The foundation stone is sure, it is firm, it is immovable, it cannot be moved, and it rests perfectly on the finished work of our Savior and His beloved and blessed Son. Thank God for that. But now may I repeat, and I need it as much as you, my fellow believer, how careful we must be how we build. Now may I give a qualification, not merely what we build, how we build. For the day of judgment will manifest not what we built, but how we built. And let us realize from the 12th verse, which will be our study, there are two characteristic elements chiefly we can put into the building. We can put that which is substantial and will remain. We can put that which is unsubstantial and will be destroyed. And concerning wood, hay, and stubble, I leave it to your own judgment, which I'm sure you have sufficient of, to realize it is the worthless material. But that which is worthy material consists of gold, silver, precious stone. Now God uses expressive language to convey eternal truth. One of the wonderful things about the Word of God from the beginning to the end, and particularly in that language which may be figurative or symbolical, He uses such language to convey what inside of it is eternal truth. And here in our scripture, please let me immediately say, don't place in your mind and heart any conception that God is referring to literal gold, to literal silver, to literal gems. Positively not. Again, let me repeat. And for the authority of this, we have the word of God in 1 Peter again, to which we refer. When Peter declared what the divine Christian testimony was, he named it a spiritual house. And everything that is spiritual relates to that house. Not material. Now, needless to say, we may have the need of material things to carry on the work of the Lord, but may I say very frankly, they are certainly minor in their importance. What is supreme in importance is the spiritual character of what we put into the Lord's testimony. Spiritual gold, spiritual silver, spiritual gems, and they convey a great meaning. Now, may I point out, please, from the context of this scripture, when you and I, believers, stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as we shall everyone, what is going to be drawn out is what we have in this 12th verse. That which was of eternal quality in our lives, and that which was only fit to be burned, and only temporal, worthy of destruction. Now this verse reveals and declares plainly what in that coming day our Lord will tell us we put into the building of our Christian life and testimony and our local church. It will either be gold and silver and precious stones that will abide in that day for the reward. And that wood, hay, and stubble will be burned out, for which we shall, as I said again, I say it, be grateful. But what is the gold? What is the silver? What is the spiritual stone? What are these spiritual gems that God would have us put into the testimony? Now I'm sure that we can recognize in the divine order of them, and I'm a firm believer that the Spirit of God very carefully gives a divine order to the truth and the words that are being expressed. We will recognize that gold to the heart and heart and the mind of mankind is of the highest value, as it is recognized as such in the world, and that silver may come next in its valuation to the hearts and minds of men, and precious stones in like manner may not be as valuable as silver and as gold always, and they may be in their respective order a great evaluation. Now may I quickly say that I believe there are three particular spheres, the valuations that are to be applied. First of all, the gold is in regard to my relationship to the Lord. The silver is in regard to my relationship to His people. And the stone, precious stone, in regard to my relationship to the world. Now may I cover that again and make it very clear in evidence. Those three phases of relationship cover every phase of relationship that's possible. And in their importance, first, to God and my Savior. Second, to His beloved people. And third, to the lost who are around me in the world. Now let me repeat, you might not agree, but I feel, and I believe the word of God substantiates the fact. First, of utmost importance is my relationship with God. Second, my relationship with His saints. And third, my relationship to the world. And may I say, every one of them are clearly taught in the Word of God. And I fully believe we need to be in proper spiritual balance in each one. First, in my fellowship with God. Second, in my fellowship with His people. And third, in my relationship and responsibility toward the lost in this world. Now let me say again, I cannot find any other area that can be covered. When I thus see the gold relating to God, the silver in relating to the saints, and the stones, precious stones in relating to the lost in the world. Now let me prove it, briefly, quickly. I'm sure that you're very familiar with the fact that Solomon built a tremendous temple. It wasn't great in size. But when Solomon built the temple in Israel and dedicated it to Jehovah, it was a tremendous value, even monetarily. I think about 25 or 30 years ago, the Society of Architects in the state of Illinois, they evaluated Solomon's temple in present day valuation of inflation, and that's 25 or 30 years ago. And what the valuation of gold is today, you can understand it's even greater. But in Solomon's temple, and please may I say, it was not the size of the building that made it the value it was. It was the quality of material that was in it. For all of it was lined with gold. Though the outside had the tremendous walls and blocks of granite and stone, yet in the inside the walls were laid over with wood, and then the wood was overlaid with gold. Pure gold. Every vessel in the temple was made of gold. And from one end of that sanctuary, in the holy place and the holiest of all, you could see the glory of gold. And they valued it at the present valuation of that particular day, $87 billion. And you may think, and I may also think and realize, what a valuation to give to the temple of God. What a glory to present to Jehovah His dwelling place where He could take and did take up His Shekinah glory cloud of sack. And He filled it so that the thief were unable to enter it at the dedication of it. My beloved, may I suggest, it was the symbol of the glory of His presence. And no greater glory, and no greater privilege can a soul ever have when in relationship to God, that soul is able to come into His presence. Now, silver. Do you remember the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness of old? All those boards that surrounded the tabernacle in its temporary structure as they traveled through the wilderness and then later pitched it in the land of Canaan, All those boards represented the unity of the nation. And every board was placed and rested in a silver socket. And that silver socket was the representation of their redemption. For one of the redemption prices that they often paid in Israel when they brought a sacrifice, they had to bring a shekel of silver. When there was a census made of the people of Israel to find out how many there was to be a shekel of silver given as redemption price. And the silver was a type, a fitting type of the redemption of God's people. And you and I can well say, as Peter well wrote, we know, ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And when you and I think of the people of God, who are they? Where did they come from? They belong to one another. And every one that has been redeemed by the blood of Christ is in that divine testimony of the church, which is the body of Christ. And may I say, and I say it faithfully, I belong to all the people of God. And the way we are divided is not very well proved. But the way the scripture teaches it, we're all members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. And what a joy to recognize the oneness of that body. And my fellowship belongs with all the people of God. Now I grant, and I must, I acknowledge that if some of the saints of God are walking out of fellowship with God, contrary to his word, and away from it in disobedience, I can't go along. But as far as my relationship with them, they're my brother, they're my sister. I can never deny that, and I never will. As long as the blood of Christ is redeemed them, they belong to him, they belong to me. As long as they're one in, as long as they are in the family of God, they're one with me in God's family. And as far as my love to the children is gone, the circle of the Christian's love for God's people is just as great as the Father's circle. And if the Father loves them all, and don't tell me he doesn't, if the Father loves them all, so should I. I may not be pleased with them all, and neither is the Father perhaps pleased with them all. But may I say it again, I belong to them all. We're sure and narrow-minded, aren't we? When it comes to seeing the relationship of a believer and all believers to one another. Look to God. Our divisions could be swept away. And realize one in Christ. Now look, let me say this kindly. Let me say it kindly. How precious to acknowledge in practice, this precious truth. You say, how could I ever do that? My beloved, may I say, if you and I will take our stand in believing and proving and practicing, we're members of the one body, and that Christ is not the head of many bodies, but only the head of one. So that when you and I, as Christian believers, please may I say, even in any local church, in any local assembly, the attitude and the relationship of believers to their fellow believers is to be on the ground and the truth of the one body. And if a believer were to come in here and thank God for all who may come, they are received not on the ground of what where they came from, they are received on the ground that they belong to us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. a Christian. Make them abroad. As the word of God enables us to do it and say, we welcome all that give evidence of being born again, walking in fellowship with God, and sound in doctrine and moral in life. And on the ground of their relationship to God, they're in relationship to the Son. Now, the precious stones. Now, what I want you to see, the three phases of area. First, with God. Second, with His people. Third, with the world. Precious stones. Go with me to John's Gospel, will you please? Chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. The latter part of the chapter, if I may begin reading, at verse 38, or verse 37, and you have two disciples, Andrew and John, disciples of John the Baptist. These two disciples are John the Baptist, say, behold the Lamb of God, and they follow Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now here you find Andrew winning a soul. Here you find him getting his own brother Peter. And he brought him to Jesus. And is not that the work in relation to the world? Is not that the responsibility of a believer? For as we often have sung, we are saved to tell others of the Christ of Calvary. We are to win others to the Lord. He that winneth souls is wise. And Andrew, he goes after his brother Peter, who was down in the miry clay of darkness and away from God, not knowing the Savior. And he brought him to Jesus. Now know what follows. When Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation what? A stone. And my beloved, here you have Peter, brought out of the quarry of sin, brought out of the mire of being in sin darkness. And please, you've got what Peter mentioned in that later epistle that he wrote, when he said, you come to a living stone, even Christ, and ye also, as living souls, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God through Jesus, acceptable through Jesus Christ. And Peter found out that the Lord is as much as saying, Peter, I'm going to put up a building. And I want you for a stone in that building. And Peter became a stone. Not the rock now. What is a stone but a little bit of a rock? What is a believer? What is a saint sinner but a bit of Christ? Part of Christ? He is in Christ. She is in Christ. Christ is in her and Christ is in him. When they are brought to Jesus. And one may well recognize this certainly covers the three spheres of our responsibility in building. First, my relationship to God, and we touch upon them separately. Second, my relationship to the saints. Third, my relationship to the world. And I say again, you can't find me any other sphere. That covers everything. So, and may I again repeat with emphasis the divine order in their importance. God first, the saintness, the sinners, the priest. May I also remind my heart, don't let me neglect either one of them.
Well, sometimes we might be doing more work with the sinners and neglecting my Lord. We might be doing more work with the unsaved and neglecting the saints. Or we might be working more with the saints and neglecting sinners. We might be more walking with God in fellowship and neglecting the saints and sinners. Beloved, please, the judgment seat of Christ is going to bring down gold, silver, precious stones. Now let's ask our hearts a question. If I am a believer in the Lord Jesus, how much gold am I producing? How much gold am I putting into the testimony of the Lord? How much silver am I putting into the testimony of the Lord? How many precious stones am I adding to the testimony of the Lord? Now please, let's not minimize any of these. But let's equally realize the gold and the silver and the precious stones, they have their place in the building. In the building. Now, first of all, when I think of the gold, as already suggested, how it speaks of my fellowship with God, my relationship to Him, and please may I say, my fellow believer, look, my relationship and fellowship with God will govern my fellowship with the saints, my ministry to the lost. Please, let's put the right thing first. If I am in proper relationship with God in my heart and life, I'm going to show it amongst the saints. If I'm in proper relationship with God in my life, I'm going to show it to the lost sinners. For surely, if I am right with my Lord in my communion, the saints are going to find it out. The sinners are going to know it. Please, let's put the first thing first. My fellowship with God. The gold. The gold. Now may I again repeat what we stated at Solomon's temple. It was God's sanctuary. True, it disappeared. True, the nation of Israel neglected it. True, they defiled it. They corrupted it and God permitted it to go. But listen. Now listen, my fellow believer. Where is God's sanctuary for you and me? Where do you and I go to find the sanctuary of God? And please let me say right now, this building isn't the sanctuary. Though many times it's so named. This building, when I walk into this building, I am not walking into the sanctuary of God. God's sanctuary is in heaven above. And you read the book of Hebrews, and you recognize, as believers, we enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by that new and living way which He has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, we hear Him say, let us therefore come boldly. Yes, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. My beloved, may I say, the sanctuary of God is His holy presence. And the book of Hebrews very clearly reveals, we have an open heaven to come into. The great truth in Hebrews is that heaven is open and the believer can go into God's presence by faith through the Spirit to worship. Now, beloved, we've got to ask the question, how much time do I spend in God's presence? There's gold in His presence. When I worship in His presence, there is gold. when I worship in the presence of God.
Well, my beloved, I'm sure you can recognize.
Would you please tell me? Is there anything greater to experience than to experience the presence of God?
Where two or three are gathered together in my name, said the Lord Jesus, there am I in the midst.
And how joyful it is to realize
the believers in their earthly testimony can come into the presence of God.
May I please enumerate it?
To get into the presence of God, we must find the spiritual gold. And we may have to say what the book of Genesis wrote. When Moses wrote concerning the Garden of Eden and the river that flowed from it. And he says, the gold of that land is good. As he named part of the land, the river flowed through. And oh, what gold in its presence.
Now may I ask this question? Do you and I worship? Do you and I worship? Collectively, should the church come together to worship? Now please, this is not a worship service right now. You're listening to the preacher. This is ministry. This is ministry coming from God through His servant by the Word of God. Worship is what goes up to the presence of God from the hearts of His redeemed people. And may I say gratefully, I'm going to say it, I have to say it, for 60 years I've enjoyed it. To gather together with my fellow believers, even at the supper of the Lord, the communion supper of remembering my Lord in His death, to enter into the presence of the Father above by faith and worship. To pour out the heart in thanksgiving and adoration, not only for the person of God and the person of the Son, but for the work they have done by the Spirit. Beloved Lord, please let me emphasize this. Worship does not come down from above. It goes up from beneath. And it goes up. And it can only go up from a redeemed and a grateful heart. And you get into the presence of God. And I want to tell you, that's some of the gold. And when you meet the Lord in glory, He's going to tell you how much you worship. How much gold. But let me go further. I read in the 19th Psalm that the Word of God is more to be desired than fine gold. Well, my fellow believer, may I ask again, how much gold are you and I getting from the Word of God? For the Word of God is a gold mine, a gold mine of eternal truth, and there's gold to be found within the Word of God. A good friend of mine many, many years ago said, John, how about joining with me and we'll buy that old gold mine? I said, nothing new. I wasn't interested in an old gold mine that had been worked out. But I do thank God for this book. I've never been able to work it all out yet. Still able to dig. Still able to find the vein of gold. And the truth of God more to be desired than gold. Hallelujah. Now my fellow believer, please may I say, how much gold are you putting into the testimony? How much gold have you found and obtained from the Word of God? Then may I go a little further regarding the gold. I like to think of what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:7, when he declared that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be tried with fire, and you shall be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now Peter was writing to suffering saints. Peter was writing to suffering saints. But he was telling them there was gold in the fire. There was gold in the testing. There was gold to be found through their fire. And my beloved, when you and I worship in God's presence with gold, when you and I get to know Him better through His Word, we find gold. And the glory of the Lord is revealed to our hearts. And when you and I, if we will, go through our troubles, there in the fiery trial, there's gold to be obtained. Fellowship with God in my trouble. One of the greatest things that trouble can give to you and bring to you, my fellow believer, is the gold of knowing He has said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the greatest experience in their lives, they will undoubtedly confess, was when they went into the fiery furnace. For in that fiery furnace that burnt nothing but their bonds, that bound them, there they had the gold of the presence of the Lord walking with them in the midst of the fire. My beloved, there's gold, divine gold to be found in the trials of life. I remember many years ago, as I was in an office down in the South Carolina talking to some friends, a representative of the company, Ford Motor Company, a factory representative, came in. And we began, after being introduced, talking, and the conversation turned to California for some reason. And he said when he was once in California calling on the train, he went into a branch of the Ford Motor Company, and as he was talking to the manager, he saw a car drive up in front of the building and stop. The man came out of the car, did not make any effort to close the windows, nor lock the door. And he said he came into the office, and I was introduced to him. The manager said to the newcomer, "Where are you going, Bill?" "Oh," he said, "I'm just going down to the bank. I've got some gold bullion on the back seat of the car up there." He said, I looked at him in amazement and said, "Fellow, you never locked your doors. You never shut your windows. Aren't you afraid somebody will steal it?" And he laughed. He said, "Won't do any good." "Why not?" He said, "It's gold bullion. And you cannot get rid of gold bullion without taking it, first of all, to the government affairs office. It has to go through the government control first." And he said, "When he gets it," he said, "that man, that chemist, can analyze that gold, and he can tell you from what mine it came and to whom it belonged." He said, "No two gold mines produce the same quality in analysis of gold." Well, I never knew that before, but I said, "Lord, thank you. Nobody can steal my gold." The trials of your faith. My fellow believer, listen, if you worry about somebody taking your gold away, forget it. What you go through for the Lord, nobody can rob you of the gold that He has given you and made Himself so precious to you through that trial. Oh, beloved, how we could certainly go on. To realize and recognize gold worship, gold fellowship in the Word of God with Him, gold even when I'm in the fiery furnace, and gold to be found when I'm in fellowship and true relationship with God. Beloved, let's leave the silver and the precious stones till tonight. And if you're interested, I hope you'll come back. But oh, let's realize, please, how to build. And basically, let us recognize that first, we must remember He wants gold. The true relationship and happy and relationship and fellowship of our hearts together and individually with God. So you know, if you and I get along well with God, it sure helps all the other folks around us, won't it? As well as ourselves, to get along together. Please, don't think of anything else. Don't think of the money you put into a plane. Don't think of the bricks that may go into a building. Don't think of anything material. Spiritual goal. Fellowship with God. That's the basic requirement that will help build and be what Paul said he was. A wise master builder. Shall we pray? Oh Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. It searches, but oh Father, it's been so good to see this gold this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal it to our hearts more and more. And first we would ask, if there be any person without the Savior, not building upon him, may they see that they're on sand. And when the day of judgment comes and the storm sweeps, hey, they will be washed and their building will be washed away. But he that buildeth upon the rock will be a wise person. And we pray, if anyone knows not the Savior today, they'll build upon him and begin by confessing him as their Savior now. And we who are thine, Lord, we've got to say, Lord, we apologize, we confess it, we're ashamed, we are humiliated, we neglect the goal. Lord, make us desirous, passionately so, to get more gold and put more gold into the testimony. For we ask your giving thanks in our Savior's worthy name. Amen. Shall we sing in closing that chorus? Only One Life for Jesus. Number 348, your book. I'm sure you probably know it.